It's very good to confess the name of Jesus in song, isn't it? To meditate on who He is and to be able to declare that publicly to all who will gather to hear that Jesus is our life, our way, our end. He's all in all to us. And really the Word of God is going to point us in that direction this morning as well as we turn to Proverbs chapter 8. So please turn there in your Bibles. Proverbs chapter 8. We'll be covering the entire chapter today. How many times this last week did this thought, or maybe one similar to it, go through your head? Life is crazy. Or, how am I going to keep up? And in such a time, what is going to guide you? What is going to direct you to real, enduring life instead of a wasted and empty life? Or, to ask it a different way, what is going to lead you to God? How many times this last week did you think, life is scary? You know, you watch the news, and you get a dark foreboding about the future. Or your financial situation is precarious. Or your health uncertain. Or perhaps this last week you thought, life is hard. There are so many things outside of my control, and it seems like circumstances pile up on me. Perhaps life is hard. Relationships are difficult right now. Well, today, I'd like to introduce you to someone who can help. And that someone is found in Proverbs chapter 8. As we come to this text, we see really the opposite of what we looked at in Proverbs chapter 7. In Proverbs 7, the father warned his son about the strange woman, the forbidden woman, the adulteress, particularly because she is the paradigm, the model of the foolish way of life. She is the model of the way of life that leads to death. Don't walk that way. Don't live that way. But now he wants his son to get to know a very different woman. And God today wants you to hear the call of a different woman. Woman wisdom. And as you get to know her, she is going to lead you through the challenges of life to life with God. But of course, if we're going to love wisdom, woman wisdom, then we have to be introduced to her. And so we're introduced to wisdom in verses 1 through 3 of chapter 8. Does not wisdom call? Does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gate in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries aloud. We hear wisdom's voice before we see her, even, in this text. And we notice, first of all, where she's calling from. She's calling from the heights beside the way. She's putting herself at the crossroads. She is going to where people are. She's going to speak to people in the course of everyday life. You don't need to go on an extensive pilgrimage across an ocean, across a desert, climb an isolated mountain somewhere to find the sage there that's going to speak wisdom to you, do you? Wisdom is here. Wisdom is in everyday life. Wisdom is placing herself right at the crossroads where multitudes of people will hear her voice. And she is crying out. This woman has come to you where you're at in your everyday existence, and she's speaking to you. She calls also from the gates of the city. It says here, the gates in front of the town, the entrance of the portals, the place where business is done, the place where legal disputes are settled. So she gets right down into the nitty-gritty of life, and she calls out then to you. And so then, in verses 4 through 11, we notice what she says. To you, O men, I call, and my cry is to the children of man. O simple ones, learn prudence. O fools, learn sense. Hear, for I will speak noble things, and from my lips will come what is right. For my mouth will utter truth. Wickedness is an abomination to my lips. All the words of my mouth are righteous. There is nothing twisted or crooked in them. They are all straight to him who understands, and right to those who find knowledge. Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold. For wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare. with her. How does this woman talk? Like as is true for all of us, her character comes out in her speech. You know, when someone talks, they reveal who they are, don't they? Out of the heart, the mouth speaks. And so it is as we get introduced to this woman, woman wisdom, we start to find out, who is this woman? What's she like? Well, we listen to what she says, and we start to get some insight into her real character, the real kind of a woman that she is. Look at how her words are characterized here, as noble, as right, as true, as righteous, as straight. These are the things that characterize her speech. In fact, then in verses 10 through 11, she says, "Take my instruction instead of silver, and knowledge rather than choice gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all that you may desire cannot compare with her." She is offering to you the most valuable thing she can. And by the way, notice again her character. She is giving, not taking. And she is giving you what you really need. You might think today that you need money, right? Well, if I just had this money, that would sure solve a lot of problems, right? She says, well, I'm going to give you something, but I'm going to give you something more valuable than that. There's a lot of things in this life we can desire that we might think we need. But she, in her discernment, says, no, I'm going to give you what you really need, which is more valuable. The things actually that you cannot buy with money. Things that no matter how much money you have, it can't give this to you. You can have all the wealth of the world, but here's something better. I'm going to give you instruction, knowledge, wisdom. Think of anything you can desire in the here and now. Young people, what do you want for your birthday? Or maybe some of you are already thinking about Christmas and things like that. What do I want for this? What do I desire? And woman wisdom says, no, what I have to give you is better than anything else you can desire. This is true nobility. This is true beauty. This is goodness and truth. You see, you're getting to know woman wisdom here, and you're finding out that there is truth and beauty and goodness in her. So now that you've been introduced, in up through verse 11 of this chapter, in verses 12 through 21, she begins to tell you about herself. She gives a little autobiography, if you will. She begins to come to let you know her in a little bit deeper understanding, a deeper way. She says, "I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength. By me kings reign and rulers decree what is just. By me princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me and filling their treasuries." So you ask yourself, who is this woman? What is she like? As her character begins to come out, as she tells you about herself. And as you listen, you notice a few things about her. You ask, who are her friends? We get to know a lot about a person by their friends, don't we? The company they keep. Our proverb says, birds of a feather flock together, and you tend to be like, or be with people that you like, you get along with, you have some similarities with. So who does this woman keep company with? What do we learn about her by the kind of company she keeps? I, wisdom, verse 12, dwell with prudence. I find knowledge and discretion. So here's wisdom enjoying friendship with prudence and knowledge and discretion. Now that's a good company to be in. The companions of the wise become wise, Proverbs teaches us, but those who hang out with fools, so to speak, are going to be foolish. Well, right away, we're looking at this woman wisdom, and we're thinking, hey, here's some good people to be with. I think this is a good company to be a part of. This is revealing to me a lot about who she is, the kind of company she keeps. But not just the company you keeps. Excuse me, the company she keeps. But what is her character, as is demonstrated in this company that she keeps? What is her fruit that comes out in her life? Not just her speech, but now her actions. Well, she goes on to say, the fear of the Lord is hatred of evil. Pride and arrogance and the way of evil and perverted speech I hate. By the way, once again, we know a lot about ourselves and about other people by what they love and by what they hate. Right? We start to reveal the true orientation of our heart. This is going beyond just any kind of a front that we can put on. Any kind of a polite, you know the way you do in polite company, you be nice and you do all these kinds of things. But this is not what we're seeing about woman wisdom. She's not just, so to speak, going out on a date with this young man where, you know, looked really good. No, actually, we're observing her in her actual habitat and seeing the way she acts and lives and what she loves and what she hates. And what does she hate? She hates evil. She hates pride. She hates arrogance and the way of evil. And that twisted, perverted speech, anything that's untrue, unjust, unkind. These are the kinds of things that wisdom despises. But on a positive side, she says, I have counsel and sound wisdom. I have insight. I have strength so that by me kings reign. What's the actual fruit of what happens when she goes to work? Well, not just little things. But kings actually reign by her. Rulers decree what is just. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who govern justly. You want the world to run right, so to speak. Well, you see wisdom working there when things are working rightly. Sometimes, of course, you watch the news today, different debates are going on, things like about Obamacare, and the justice or injustice of that, and things of that nature that are going on in our society. Any human society, any human group you look at where things are run well and rightly and justly, guess who's working there? Wisdom. Woman wisdom is working there. That's the fruit of what she produces. She actually can direct whole societies, direct those who are the rulers and the powers to do what is right. She says, I love those who love me, and those who seek me diligently find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. Not wealth craftily gained, which Proverbs teaches us will take wings and fly away. Not wealth gained by extortion. Not wealth gained by usury. Not wealth gained in any kind of oppression. But real wealth. The kind of wealth that endures. The kind of wealth that lasts, that's what she produces. In fact, she even says it here, my fruit is better than gold, even fine gold, and my yield than choice silver. What investment can you make that's better than that? People want to invest their resources in things, gold, silver, some kind of an account to make it return for them, make it produce, give them a safety, security for their old age, things of that nature. And actually, what is wisdom showing is her fruit? Okay, compare all your IRAs to what I can produce, and you'll find out what I have to offer is a lot better. This is an amazing claim, but this is what wisdom produces. Because, she says, I walk in the way of righteousness, in the paths of justice, granting an inheritance to those who love me, and filling their treasuries, an inheritance that lasts, an inheritance that endures. This woman wisdom is an amazing woman. And as you watch her work, you begin to find here, again, a tremendous contrast between the strange woman of chapter 7 and woman wisdom. The strange woman of chapter 7, yes, there is that superficial beauty of the adulteress. But her heart is stone. Her heart is not with you. And there's nothing here like that. Here there is an open and an honest character, a beauty of the heart that radiates out then and touches everything with it with an everlasting beauty. Here you find beauty that goes all the way down. Every feature of her character, as it's revealed here in this text, in her autobiography, every feature of her character is perfection itself. In fact, as you look at her and come to know her, you find yourself wanting to be around her. You find yourself wanting to hear what she has to say, because her voice is sincerity itself. It's integrity. You want to watch her work because her graceful movements produce good things for everyone around her. The more you watch, in fact, the more you're in awe of her. But if you think what you've seen so far is wonderful, prepare to be amazed at what comes next. Because she goes on in verses 22 through 31. We come to know about this woman wisdom that's speaking in the text here in ways that go beyond our wildest dreams. You might even say that this is the woman of your dreams, because she surpasses what any human ever can. And isn't that really true of this life? Does any human ever fulfill everything we dream and long for? No. We find out we really don't. There's something always beyond. There's something always more. And yet this woman wisdom is identifying herself with that. Here she identifies herself and talks about herself in relationship to creation in verses 22 through 31. She says, "The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His work," or His way, "and before His acts of old. Ages ago I was set up, at the first, before the beginning of the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. Before He had made the earth with its fields, or the first of the dust in the world. When He established the heavens, I was there. When He drew a circle on the face of the deep, when He made firm the skies above, when He established the fountains of the deep, when He assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress His command, when He marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside Him, like a master workman, and I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man." As we look at woman wisdom here, we find out that she preceded creation itself. There's something greater about her than even this world and all that's in it. This is quite the mysterious woman. In fact, this is no ordinary woman. Wisdom was deeply involved in everything the Lord made. She describes herself here as a master craftsman. She does excellent work, and everything in creation reflects that master work that she's done. Even in, she gives a whole list of things that God has done, the mountains being shaped, the hills being brought forth, the earth with its fields, the dust of the earth, the heavens, the deep, the skies, and so forth. All of this, wisdom is built right into it. Wisdom was shaping it. Wisdom was directing it. This is the amazing thing about wisdom. But not only here in this text does she do excellent work, she simply delights in the Lord's work of creation. "I was daily His delight, rejoicing before Him always, rejoicing in His inhabited world, and delighting in the children of man." Here we find wisdom, this woman wisdom, laughing and skipping, playing, jumping, playing games with the children of man simply for the sheer joy of God's life in creation. And so, as we're getting to know this woman, you're coming to realize now that if you want to know how to navigate life in this world, with all of its craziness, with all of its scariness even, you need to know this woman, because she's the one that knows creation like no one else does. She shaped it all. She directed it all. She made it the bountiful, beautiful thing that it was designed to be. In fact, it leads to a life of sheer exuberance and joy. Simply laughing, delighting, rejoicing. Overflowing life, abundant life. If you want to know the joy of the sheer exuberance, if I could put it this way, of real life, you need to get to know this woman. Because she knows it. She knows it. Here's the woman you need to love. And so then in verses 32 through 36, woman wisdom here closes all of her speech by offering you a relationship with her. She says, "And now, O sons, listen to me. Blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise and do not neglect it. Blessed is the one who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting beside my doors. For whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord. But he who fails to find me injures himself. All who hate me love death." And so she closes this amazing revelation of herself with its invitation. Do you want blessing? Do you want life? Not superficial life. Not the kind of deceitful life that the strange woman offers you. The pleasures for a moment of sin, which ultimately destroy you. No, I'm offering you the real thing that will give you real life and real joy that can never be taken away. Have this relationship with me. Seek it from me. Even watch daily at my gates. Wait beside my doors. Seek after her. She's offering you a relationship with herself. In fact, she says, she warns, "Do not despise me." Because to despise me is to love death. If that's what you really want, then that's what you'll get. But love her instead. So once we've been introduced and spent a little time with woman wisdom, we realize that she is leading us to know and to love someone beyond herself. The descriptions here surpass anything, as I've already said, any human can be. Any mere mortal can be. How is that so? Well, in the fullness of time, in God's plan, there was one born of a virgin who is the ultimate expression of wisdom. As a young man, he grew in wisdom and in stature and in favor with God and man. And when he became a man, he spoke wisdom greater than Solomon. As Luke 11:31 records for us, "The queen of the south will rise up at the judgment with the men of this generation and condemn them, for she came from the ends of the earth to hear the wisdom of Solomon. And behold, something greater than Solomon is here." And even his actions were wisdom personified. In Matthew 11:18-19, we read, "For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds." Wisdom, Jesus says, is what you see acting right here. His deeds were wisdom's deeds. This one was Jesus, the Word made flesh, the way, the truth, and the life. The Apostle Paul said not only that Jesus was wise, but that he was wisdom. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30 says that God is the source of your life in Christ, whom God made our wisdom and our righteousness and sanctification and redemption. And then to cap it all off, in Colossians chapter 1, verses 15 through 17, we read this from the Holy Spirit. "He, Jesus Christ, is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. All things were created through him and for him, and he is before all things. And in him all things hold together. Anybody who reads this text, being very familiar with the Old Testament, I don't think can help but hear the echoes there. There's something, someone, who's the firstborn of all creation. And here he is. And so it's no wonder then that Paul goes on to say in chapter 2 and verse 3 that in Jesus Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Here's where you find it. Here's what this is calling you to. And so now, in the fullness of time, in God's revelation, it's all clear. It all becomes clear what wisdom was talking about there. As we follow that winding mountain path of life led by wisdom, and as we follow the path of revelation unpacked and laid out in Scripture for us, we come to the peak and we see there Jesus Christ himself as the full revelation of God to us. And that's why I'd like to submit to you today that loving wisdom, as our text calls us to, leads you to Christ. Loving wisdom leads you to Christ. If you're going to love wisdom and follow her and listen to her, learn from her, engage in that relationship with her, love her fully, what is that going to mean? Nothing but a relationship with Jesus Christ himself. That's really what it's all about. That's ultimately why this is so important to us. You see, your life depends upon it. Your eternal soul depends upon it. The success of our church, the strength and stability of our society depend upon it. Loving wisdom leads us to Christ. And so I don't want to close this sermon without calling you to Christ. You want to be wise? You want to be in control of life? You want to have the good life? If so, you have to know Christ. So seek after him today. Listen to him. Trust him. I think of how many men and how many women in this world learn so much and yet miss it all because they miss Christ. Because they won't accept him. They won't really follow the path where wisdom is pointing, where wisdom is leading. You see, you can't study anything, and I mean that, anything in this world without it pointing you to Christ. Everything about creation is interwoven with wisdom. And everything about creation says Jesus Christ. And if we don't see that, we don't have wisdom. We don't know the truth, the way, the life. You simply have to go to Christ. Sometimes in our days, it's popular to pit science and faith against each other, as if those were two different things, and especially if they were two opposed things. But that's not true at all. In fact, to think that way is to be foolish. The way to understand this world is to know Jesus Christ. The way to understand life and to live, how to live, is to know Jesus Christ. Loving wisdom leads you to Christ. Now, by the way, here's the reason why many want wisdom but won't follow Christ. Christ means the cross. And the cross is foolish. You see, measured by our human standards, the way of Christ is weak. It presses you down. And presses you down on your knees and humbles you and makes you realize you're nothing. It makes you realize you're a sinner, deserving of God's judgment and wrath. It doesn't puff up your ego and say to you, yes, you can, yes, you can, you're great, you're great. Accomplish great things. It's not the way of power and of mastery. It's not the way of becoming great in men's eyes. It's the way of humility and weakness. So to accept Christ, the way of Christ, is to recognize that you are a guilty sinner, condemned before a holy God. It slaughters your pride and your self-sufficiency. And in fact, it would seem to take away your very life. And we don't want to go there. We want to hold on to it. We want to be in control. We want to achieve our wisdom by ourselves and prove that we really are great. And we really do have control and we really are masters of our life. And yet, wonder of wonders, it turns out the way of death to yourself really is the way of life. It really is the way of wisdom. Christ has given Himself in your place and paid the penalty. He's conquered sin and death. He's risen from the dead. And when you trust Him, He unites you to Himself. His life flows in you. And so you see that the life of wisdom realizes more and more that everything in creation, everything about what God does in His work of creation, and then building off of that, His work of redemption, is oriented toward Christ. All of creation is designed to find its fulfillment in Him. And that's again why, to finish the passage that I started reading earlier in Colossians chapter 1, we read, "And He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything He might be preeminent. For in Him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through Him to reconcile to Himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of His cross." Jesus' work of redemption, His preeminence there, really builds right off of His preeminence in creation. This whole world was designed to find its fulfillment in God. What keeps it from doing that? Sin. But Jesus dealt with that. He's now the firstborn from the dead. And in Him, He reconciles all of this creation, all of it, to God. There's nothing outside the scope of His power, control, and redemption. So what do we learn from this? It is wisdom to be able to see Christ and to live for Christ and to point others to Christ in everything. When you rejoice in the connection of your job with Christ, then you're a wise person. You're able to see the point of life, why this matters, what it's accomplishing, what good it's doing. When you're able to see, connect your motherhood with the life of Christ, that is wisdom. That's the path of life. You're able to see and understand and dwell and act in wisdom and drawing on Christ's life in your own and working it out in your life. When, pardon me, your friendships become a participation in Christ, a partnership in Christ, then you're a wise person. How did the Apostle Paul describe his relationship with the Philippians in giving thanks to God for them, for their partnership in the gospel, in his mission work, in all of life, in what life was for? This is what they were doing. They were being wise people. When everything about you, from the time you get up to the time you go to bed, and even while you're sleeping, is in your heart and life flowing with Christ, then you're a wise person. When you look at your bank statement and what does this have to do with Christ, then, and you can see that, you're a wise person. That's living the way of life. That's growing into the abundant life that Christ, that wisdom, has for her children. Loving wisdom leads you to Christ. Proverbs chapter 8 tells us to love wisdom. This is the way of life, son. You've seen the way the strange woman is. You've seen her false beauty, her false delight, and where it really takes you. But now here's the real way. Here's truth. Here's beauty. Here's goodness. All the way down. And you never reach the bottom. It's infinite. It's better and better all the time. It doesn't stop with death. It goes on and on. We go farther up and farther in. There's no stopping to this. This is Jesus Christ. Folks, do you want that today? Do you want all of your life to be that sheer exuberance of living in God's creation? Love wisdom, which is to say, love Christ.